It's Essential Pittsburgh. I am Paul Guggenheimer. It's the 70th anniversary of the Allegheny Conference in this year of 2014. The documentary, We Built This City, How the Allegheny Conference Remade Pittsburgh, chronicles the public-private partnership that transformed the city and the region. The documentary was directed by our guest, Michael DeLauro. Michael DeLauro, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Also with us to talk about the conference's role in transforming the city and the region is Bill Flanagan, Executive Vice President of the Allegheny Conference and one of the first people I had the opportunity to meet after moving back to the Pittsburgh area some 3 years ago. Bill Flanagan, good to have you with us.
Good to see you again, Paul.
Bill, let's begin by having you describe what was going on in 1944 in Pittsburgh that led to the Allegheny Conference being formed.
Well, what was going on was the Second World War, and pretty much every mill in Pittsburgh running flat out to supply the war effort, every able-bodied man and woman in the region working in the mills to supply that. But at the same time, a growing concern that without the stimulus of the war effort, once the war would be won, that Pittsburgh was essentially unlivable. The skies were filled with smoke. There was soot covering all the buildings. The rivers were polluted with raw sewage and industrial pollution. And so a number of civic leaders, led initially by the president of Carnegie Tech at the time, said, we've got to do better. If we want to be able to keep people here, if we want to attract people, if we want the companies that are based in Pittsburgh to continue to thrive here, we're going to have to clean the place up. And that led to the classic pairing of R.K. Mellon and Davy Lawrence, then the mayor of the city of Pittsburgh, into forming this public-private partnership to really remake Pittsburgh.
And of course, David Lawrence was the mayor who presided over what was referred to as the Renaissance, and we've since had a Renaissance II and a Renaissance III, but that really refers to a time when Pittsburgh was first beginning to really look at itself introspectively and think seriously about reinventing itself. But it took a while. I mean, 1944, it really wasn't until, what, the mid-50s, Bill, that we began to see some of that effort come to fruition?
Well, they moved surprisingly fast. It was interesting when you watch Michael's documentary, you can see that some elements of it moved pretty quickly. The cleaning up of the smoke actually was well underway by the late 40s, early 50s. The Gateway Center redevelopment, the ground had been cleared and they were actually at work there in the early 50s. One of the issues, though, where you're dead on, was they started talking about building a fountain at the point in 1944. They turned on the fountain in 1974. So the real scope of Renaissance I was 1940s through the 1970s. It took a generation. It was about 30, 35 years before everything they envisioned was accomplished during Renaissance I.
So a real transformative partnership here, and we'll talk a little bit more about what makes this partnership unique. But this is obviously a story with a great deal of heft. So, Michael, how did it inspire you to make a documentary?
Well, we were charged to make the documentary as a result of a query from the R.K. Mellon Foundation to say somebody needs to do a documentary about this. This is an important part of the Pittsburgh story. And it that filtered to Robert Morris University, to our provost, David Jamison. And Scott Izzo said, we need to do this. And David said, I know just the person to do this, and that was me. So myself, along with Dave Jamison, who wrote the script, a beautiful script, accurate historical script about that story, and we set out to do it 2.5 years ago. We got the grant, and we finished it just recently, and we incorporated a lot of students from Robert Morris University as a learning, engaged learning activity for them and some key roles, along with many professionals along the way. And it's benefited a lot of people along the way, the whole experience of learning about our history, learning about the Pittsburgh story, Renaissance 1, 2, and 3, and the people that we met along the way, the men and women that we had a chance to interview, the former Governor Dick Thornburgh, Doug Danforth, retired from the Westinghouse Corporation, things like that. We met a lot of people on that level and a lot of community people that were very active in redeveloping communities. It wasn't just the private public sector. There are a lot of community-based organizations that have redefined and redeveloped Pittsburgh as well.
And as far as you are concerned, what is the backstory here? I mean, we got a lot of the setup from Bill about you know where the whole drama of this comes in, because you had some problems. You had a city that really, you know, found its identity during World War II, making the steel that you know went into the making of weaponry and airplanes and ships and so many things. But that war was coming to an end, and there was going to be a post-war economy and a situation that the city needed to address. What did you see as being the dramatic issues that made this a story worth telling in documentary form?
Well, you have to understand that during World War II, those industrial leaders were making money hand over fist. And they could have directed their efforts and their resources in other ways, but they all got together, as Bill said earlier, they all got together and said, we need to turn this around. We need to unpollute and do all these, you know, visionary things that would turn the city around to make it more attractive. So the backstory is that there are corporate and private and civic leaders getting together to make it better, and that's unheard of. That, you know, there's always issues, and they got their heads together and said, we need to make this better. And that's, I think, the wonderful aspect of the story. And from a dramatic standpoint, it's well documented in the document. There's so many wonderful things about the Allegheny Conference on Community Development that they've done. But as Bill just said, there were bumps in the road, and we cover that as well, because those bumps in the road were a learning process for everybody involved.
Well, and what were those bumps in the road?
As Bill said, it took 30 years for the fountain to get together. The bumps in the road, the civic arena, and what happened to Lower Hill, East Liberty, and the many things that happened in East Liberty in terms of urban renewal. One of the people that we interviewed in the documentary, Al Vento, has a pizza parlor, and
Vento's Pizza on Highland Avenue.
Absolutely,
yes.
But he had to relocate his business 5 times as a result of urban renewal. But I mean, those are just minor. There are certainly tragic things that happen, but the conference has done so many other things that have superseded some of those bumps.
But you are pointing out a problem that people are becoming, you know, it's certainly something that everybody's been aware of for a long time, but it's being talked about more, and that is the idea that many of the members of the minority community in Pittsburgh, in the name of progress, have been pushed aside. Their neighborhoods have been pushed aside. The small businesses, as you just mentioned, a business like Vento's Pizza in East Liberty had to relocate all these times to make way. I think initially it was for a Home Depot in East Liberty.
Correct.
And so what about those people? Does this address their story and their concerns?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It does address their concerns. But it isn't all negative. There's a lot of hope involved from that sector of the population. We interviewed Salah Uddin, and he was very vocal about the positive and some of the negative things that have happened. But he's very hopeful that we can grow as a region and think of it regionally as we develop this area. We have to think of it regionally, and he's all in favor of that. And I think many people, the mission of the Allegheny Conference, as I understand it now, is thinking of our area as a regional development, not just the city of Pittsburgh.
Just building on what Michael's saying, I mean, I think, too, you got to remember the 50s and the 60s were a great era of urban redevelopment in the United
correct.
States. It wasn't just Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was leading the charge in a lot of ways. But I think in that zeal to redevelop, the civic leaders of the time forgot that one man's blight is another person's neighborhood.
Right. And some mistakes were made as a result.
And it's true. And what you forget, if you believe that, is that nobody has a bigger stake in the health and the success of communities than the people who live in those communities. And you ignore them and their interests and their dreams at your peril in the long run. And I think that's one of the great lessons to be learned of the first Renaissance in Pittsburgh. There were some fabulous reinvestments and developments that happened, but there were neighborhood-destroying investments that we're still recovering from. And if there's a shift now in this sort of this second generation that we've just completed of transformation in Pittsburgh, I think the civic leadership, both public and private, is doing a better job today of listening at the grassroots level, at the community level, and not bulldozing and steamrolling in the way things happened, you know, back during the first generation of transformation during Renaissance One.
Agreed, yeah.
We are talking about the 70th anniversary of the Allegheny Conference in this year of 2015, which is coming to a close. So it's certainly a conversation that is worth having at this point in time. And there is a documentary being made at this point in time called We Built This City, How the Allegheny Conference Remade Pittsburgh. It chronicles the private-public partnership that transformed the city and the region, and we've been discussing some of the ways that transformation has occurred with Bill Flanagan. He's executive vice president of the Allegheny Conference, and also the man behind the documentary, the director of the documentary, Michael DeLauro, and we'll get into some information about when and how you can see the documentary with the premiere taking place. But, Bill, I wanted to get back to you as far as how the role of the Allegheny Conference is changing now here in the 21st century.
Well, and it has been a real journey. The first 50 years of the Allegheny Conference, so from the 40s basically through the 1980s, the focus tended to be on the core of the region. It was the city of Pittsburgh. It was Allegheny County. Really, what began to happen about 20, 25 years ago was a much more regional approach. It was done for political reasons. We needed more counties to work together to be able to have more clout in Harrisburg than Philadelphia. So it was an expedient decision. But it was also a reflection of the economy. We have a regional economy. The economy doesn't stop at the Allegheny County line. So for the last 25 years, the conference has been a lot more regional in its approach. And for the last 15 years or so, it's become a much broader organization in terms of its activities. Instead of being sort of a narrow CEO-led group that really worked on improving the competitiveness of the region, we now have as an affiliate the Pittsburgh Regional Alliance that markets the region worldwide for business investment. One of our affiliates is the Greater Pittsburgh Chamber of Commerce that advocates for improvements, and we've brought the Pennsylvania Economy League of Greater Pittsburgh under the conference umbrella as well that allows us to do research and analysis into public policy. So it's a very integrated strategy and approach now about taking a look at what's right and wrong with the region and then developing strategies to improve it, make it more competitive, and then ultimately creating a better place.
And, you know, there have been the problems that we talked about earlier, but there have also been some amazing results from this partnership, which I have described as a public-private partnership. What makes it unique?
Well, I it is a back and forth. I think it's a true partnership, and I'm not sure that always works.
Partnership, you mean?
They're willing to pick up the phone and talk to each other, uh-huh. And they're willing to do things the other – when I'm talking about the public and the private, government and business primarily. But there's a willingness to listen to one another, and at times the business community has an idea or a suggestion, and they'll go to the mayor or the county executive or the governor and say, this is what needs to happen to make – the region better and more competitive, and the elected officials will sort of go along and support that. Other times the phone rings and it's the mayor or it's the governor. This is something I want to get done, and I need the support of the business community to move this forward. I need the private sector behind this. And the private sector, organized by the Allegheny Conference, will often step together. So there's been this interplay now for 70 years, at times with the business community sort of leading the charge, at other times it's the elected officials in the public sector. But this
can you give us some examples?
Well, let's see. I guess in more recent terms, I mean, there was an issue not that many years ago in the past decade or so when the city was getting into real significant financial trouble. And, you know, Mayor Murphy at the time came to the business community and he said, I need a new way to be able to generate some revenue. And that was the genesis of the emergency services tax that we now have today for commuters who work inside the city of Pittsburgh. There's a small tax that's levied annually. And that was a case where the mayor came to the Allegheny Conference. Using our capacity, we were able to run the numbers and say, yeah, you need more revenue. That's to keep the city afloat, and the commuters benefit a lot by being able to work there. You have to provide services for them while they're in town. And so the business community essentially went to bat in Harrisburg to impose a tax that ultimately stabilized the city's finances for a period of years. On the other side, the regional asset tax from now almost 25 years ago, which is the 1% sales tax in Allegheny County, that provide support for the arts and the parks and the assets in the region. That was a case where the Allegheny Conference came forward and said, you know, we think we need to do more to stabilize these community assets. We need tax reform in the city of Pittsburgh. You know, mayor, would you participate and cooperate with this, governor, et cetera? And in that case, the public sector came to the table. So, I mean, and I could go on and on with a long list of examples like that.
And so, you know, looking back historically, where would Pittsburgh and the region be without the Allegheny Conference? You know, 70 years ago, if it never happened, you know, we had community-minded people and philanthropists, usually, you know, people who had the money to afford to do that, like Andrew Carnegie, creating the whole system of libraries and museums. We had that kind of thing going on. We had, you know, people who were conscious of the community good. But without the Allegheny Conference, if it never happened, where would we be today?
Well, I can let Michael might want to chime in
well,
on that.
I think without the Allegheny Conference, one of the assets and the beauty of the Allegheny Conference is it was more proactive as opposed to reactionary. So having the Allegheny Conference on Community Development in place early on as kind of a proactive group really changed the landscape of what Pittsburgh is. Without it, it might have been more reactionary, and Pittsburgh would have been in a pretty deep hole economically, environmentally, socially.
And aesthetically, because somebody envisioned that fountain back in the 40s, but it may never have been built.
Well, think about it. It was actually somebody from the Allegheny Conference writing about building a park at the Point. I mean, if you look at those pictures of Pittsburgh in the 40s and the 30s, there was no definition to the city at all. The rivers were fundamentally highways and sewers, and that's the way they were viewed. No buildings faced the rivers in those days, right?
And then the whole point, what has become Point Park, was, I guess, largely an industrial area, that an environment that had been trashed.
It was a large train yard.
That's essentially it's true. And that was the sort of the first renaissance, but you can't forget the second 35-year period, which was really the economic comeback, and that was really rebuilding the economy. In the 40s, it was taking a very strong economy but making a better place because they wanted to be able to sustain the region and its success. The last 35 years, it was taking an economy that was a basket case after the collapse of the industrial base here and rebuilding it. And the conference was involved in both those chapters. First one focused on the environment. The second one really focused on the economy. But with a lot more partners in play in the most recent generation than might have been the case during the first Renaissance, because there's a big story of leadership from the universities, leadership from the foundations, as well as government, as well as business in the past generation. So there's that engagement of public-private leadership is as important, as effective as it's ever been, but there's a lot more players at the table than there were back in the 40s and the 50s.
Well, it's grown, right? Right now, there are the 300 people that are
Well, there are 300 organizations that are members of the Allegheny Conference compared to what would have been three dozen back in the heyday of the first Renaissance, when you had the captains of industry meeting at the Duquesne Club with the mayor of the city to sort of hatch these plans.
And by the way, this is kind of like when you ask, are we in a recession? Are we not? You know, when are we officially in and out? Have we officially entered a third, a Renaissance three?
Oh, it depends how you count. I look at it, and Michael's got a structure that I think is entirely accurate in the documentary. There's really been two generations as we look at it from the standpoint of the conference. The first generation was the 40s through the 70s. That was essentially the Renaissance one. That was improving the quality of the place, building on an already strong economy. The second generation has really been the last 35 years. Was that Renaissance 2? Was the first one Renaissance 1? Is Renaissance 3 beginning? I don't know how you count it.
As long as a Renaissance is happening.
Right.
That's what we want.
Well, before we wrap up, very quickly, Michael, when will the documentary premiere?
Well, the documentary premieres to a private screening of all those who were involved in the making of the documentary, those interviews and production people. That's Wednesday night, December 3rd, at the Manchester Craftsman Guild. But the first public screening of the film will be January 21st at Robert Morris University, Massey Auditorium in Moon Township at 6 p.m. That's January 21st at Robert Morris University.
Wonderful. The documentary, We Built This City, How the Allegheny Conference Remade Pittsburgh, chronicling the private-public partnership that transformed the city and the region, the Allegheny Conference, celebrating its 70th anniversary. We've been talking with Bill Flanagan. He is the Executive Vice President of the Allegheny Conference. Bill, so good, nice to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
And Michael DeLauro, congratulations on your documentary. He's the director of We Built This City. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.